This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. In the last days of 2013, Governor Rick Snyder signed campaign finance legislation. Rich Robinson is the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, a nonprofit group which tracks money and the disclosure of sources of donations in political campaigns. Rich Robinson, thank you for being with us.
Good to be with you, Gordon. Thanks.
Tell us what you see as the problems in Senate Bill 661, which was signed into law by the governor during the last week of December.
There were several aspects of the law. It originally started out to double limits on contributions to state and local political candidates. The argument there was that those limits haven't been increased since the 1970s, and if there had been a regular consumer price index factor included, they'd be much higher than they are. I testified against that part of the bill because it is a statistical truth that 99.99% of Michiganders never encounter the old contribution limits. They don't need any larger contribution limits. And in fact, that whole effort was done for the benefit of a relatively small handful of families and interest groups who'd like to spend more on politics and have more influence than they do. When the bill was in a committee hearing, it was amended, and that brought in the second major element. The State Bar of Michigan had requested a reinterpretation of the Campaign Finance Act in view of several U.S. Supreme Court cases so that it would be required to disclose spending and contributors even if the words vote for, vote against weren't present in a campaign ad. As soon as Secretary of State Ruth Johnson published her intent to implement just exactly that sort of a rule, the committee hearing went into recess and the bill was amended to say, unless the words vote for, vote against are in a communication, it's not required to report. This has been a problem in Michigan for at least 12 years that I've been tracking money in politics. I've tracked over $88 million in television ads in gubernatorial, Supreme Court, and other statewide campaigns that aren't reported and donors aren't reported. The vast majority of that money is spent by the political parties. And the idea that the advertisements that the political parties are spending telling you how bad the other party's candidates would be for your life are issue ads is patently false on its face. This whole amendment was done to conceal the identity of donors in politics. And the reason I find that problematic is that people who are writing 5-, 6-, 7-figure checks for political campaigns are rational economic actors. They're doing their investments to realize a policy return on investment. And the citizens of this state should know who those donors are.
Now, the governor and other supporters of this legislation have said that people should be free to give donations to causes that they deem important without the fear of being harassed. Dan Perot, president of the American Justice Partnership, he's a former member of Western Michigan University's Board of Trustees, says that demands that independent groups disclose their donor lists are not comparable to requiring elected officials to list campaign contributions. Is there a difference between contributing to a political campaign and contributing to a group which is, say, advocating positions as opposed to explicitly calling for someone to be elected?
I would go back to the fact that it is a distinction without a difference to say that many of these campaign advertisements that run in the weeks immediately preceding an election are issue advocacy. In a case called Federal Election Commission against Wisconsin Right to Life, the U.S. Supreme Court told us that authentic issue advocacy is an attempt to get listeners or viewers to contact a public official who can act on a matter of policy. Wisconsin Right to Life's counsel in that case described issue advocacy as grassroots lobbying. Well, we had $14 million spent in a Supreme Court campaign, And some of the candidates were judges who are not lobbyable officials. Some of the candidates weren't judges at all. They were citizens who could have no effect on public policy. We're not talking about authentic issue advocacy, but to the point about whether donors who channel their funds through nonprofit corporations of various types, mainly 501c4, social welfare organizations, and 501c6 business associations. The Supreme Court of the United States took up that very question in the case of Citizens United against Federal Election Commission. The part of that case that got most of the attention was allowing corporations to say explicitly vote for or vote against a candidate. But there was a disclosure part of that case as well, Part 4 of Citizens United. And in that case, the court opinion said that there's no requirement to provide anonymity for donors, and it is certainly within the purview of Congress or a state legislature to require disclosure. Justice Clarence Thomas raised this issue of intimidation and possible retribution, and the court voted 8-1 to say that disclosure certainly is something that can be required. So, you know, on a case-by-case basis, the Supreme Court allowed that if someone felt they needed protection from retribution, they should be allowed to make that case. But facially, that was an invalid concern. And the idea that some of the most powerful interest groups and politically powerful individuals in this state need protection for speaking their mind in politics is ludicrous.
There is also a requirement that candidates file additional campaign finance reports with the state during years in which they are not up for election. Will that allow us to know a little more about where money is coming from?
That will. That is the one unambiguously positive part of that bill. It'll require reports in July and October of years when candidates aren't on the ballot. I had recommended in the committee hearing that they include an April report as well, so we're having quarterly reports. But I'm grateful that at least we've shortened the period between reports. And formerly, you could go 14 months before a candidate filed a campaign finance report. So that's a real positive.
As you noted, Rich, you have been tracking this for some time, and over the years, our listeners have heard you say that Michigan does not have a very good system for allowing us to know who is giving money for a variety of things. Does this legislation leave Michigan worse off than it was before?
Absolutely. It makes things worse off. It's given a green light for those who choose to spend their money through various vehicles. As I mentioned, it's principally been the political parties, but other nonprofit corporations to hide the identity of the actual source of money in campaigns. There's been a cultural move in that direction throughout the last decade, and I expect that this legislation will just accelerate the trend towards secrecy of donors in politics.
Rich Robinson, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Gordon. Good to be with you. Happy New Year.
Rich Robinson is Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.